How does or how did Moses make his coffee?
How?
He brew it.
Boom boom.
Dad jokes like a real part of the thing.
Power, power, is the one. Power, power, is the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Flex, Phoenix, and Nate. Power, power, is the one. Power, power, is the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah, yeah. Flex, Phoenix, and every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crossed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the script prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The script say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power, is the one. Power, power, is the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus edition. I am Captain Yahshua.
Good evening. Shalom, Captain Aparium.
Shalom, Most High Christ Bless, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, Officer Zarah.
We have Officer Zarah with us. From IUIC, Arkansas.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's spelled Arkansas.
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 Explanations, please.
Yeah, why is it Arkansas?
I have no idea.
What?
What did Tennessee? The same as Arkansas.
Okay.
Arkansas, the home of the first Walmart, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, is that where the Waltons are from?
Mm-hmm.
Waltons.
The Waltons.
Sir, can you speak into the mic more?
Who's that, officer?
Sir, from Arkansas.
Oh, officer from Arkansas.
You know, they really laid back there. They speak low.
Yeah, they
loud.
Do. They
no,
do.
No. I used to have.
He's like, bro, I'm straining my vocal cords
that's
right now.
That's his big boy voice.
I used to have a guy that was in my platoon, right? And he was from Arkansas. We'd always give him SH, but like, dude, Arkansas sucks. There's nothing to do there. He's like, man, there's tons of stuff to do. It's real fun there. I was like, well, then what do you do? What's a typical weekend? Well, we hop in the back of the truck, load up and shoot down to Texas and party.
So they go to Texas for
bro,
fun.
You just prove my point. You leave it to have fun.
They drive in a bag of a truck with a baseball bat and hit mailboxes.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, cow tip.
Cow tipping. I don't know. I mean, how's the food out there?
It's nothing compared to here.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, so you like the food here in Arizona better than Arkansas?
Yes, sir.
Well, just wait till you go to the East Coast. It's really going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Have you been to New York yet?
No, sir.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Oh.
That ain't Sodom and Gomorrah for no reason.
Right.
Bro, I always say you can go to New York City and culinary-wise, tour the world.
Mm-hmm.
Culinary-wise, you could tour
the
world.
Yeah, that's true.
They got every type of food from authentic, right, from anywhere in the world.
Hey, they even got real Chinese food, like the stuff they eat in China.
Yeah, not the stuff they serve us. Yeah. You know, the stuff they serve us is not.
Yeah,
right.
It's
although I've heard. Is it San Francisco that they say has like some of the best Chinese food?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's because Bruce Lee.
I've never been to San Francisco. I gotta check it out.
It looks
San Francisco.
Mm. It's weird. I saw it on the map. It's San Francisco's here and Oakland's right here, and a bridge connects them two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, so that's what it is. It's that the Golden Gate Bridge connects.
Nah, it's a different bridge.
No, it's a different bridge. Yeah.
Oh, so what's the Golden Gate connect?
Going into San Francisco.
But where is it coming out of?
A different part of California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where other people live life as well too. I have no idea where.
Where they jump in the van and drive to Nevada to have fun on the weekend.
You just time warp. You end up flying.
Right. Let's shoot the Reno.
Oh, man. Well, we're glad to have you on the show. I know in Arkansas they speak softly, but...
You guys have stoplights there?
Yes, sir.
Indoor plumbing?
Right.
Oh, praise this. Look at that.
He said indoor Rose plumbing.
Rose are paid.
Gosh.
He said Rose are paid.
Rose are paid.
That's a luxury.
The whole town came to see it.
One road paid.
Footprints and handprints everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Barbecue good out there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I don't know. That's
he said, mm-hmm.
I would imagine barbecue got to be good out there. I mean, I don't want to knock Memphis. I'm sure I wasn't, maybe because it was overhyped. Remember the spot we went to? It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad. A lot
of
it just wasn't.
It wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is the best.
Nah, I would say.
I mean,
maybe
it got to be pork. Like maybe that's for people in the world who do pork.
I don't know.
Right? Because we had the beef and the chicken stuff and the turkey. Right?
I don't know. It was good, but I mean, nothing like made your toes curl or not.
It was good, but right, it wasn't like I was thinking because
it was more like of a touristy spot since it was right next to the Lorraine.
Yeah, but that wasn't that place recommended to us by
somebody.
Was.
Yeah, Ruvain recommended it.
Look, like real talk, that restaurant we went to, Hoshaya Barbecue is better than the restaurant we went to. And it's not to insult Hoshaya, but just to let you know, you go to a fancy restaurant and Hoshaya cook better barbecue than
could have just paid Hoshaya that day.
Could just pay Hoshaya. Well, I think we had some later that night or something, right?
Something like that. Yeah. Or the next day, something like that.
Yeah, some beans and stuff. It was good, man. I guess I'm hungry. Yeah. Down south, more of a dry cook, smoke dry. Okay, all right. All right, yeah, there's different types. So you got Kansas City barbecue, Memphis
Kansas City
barbecue
is good.
King.
I've had Kansas City.
Kansas
City's
king, baby.
It's
yeah,
really
Kansas
good.
City. You like Kansas City?
Yeah, they do this big fried
Yeah, they're
turkey.
More like sweet and tangy with their barbecue, right? Yeah.
Kansas City's good.
Texas barbecue is good. Got a little kick. We're bold.
Oh, yeah.
Bold, like Texas. Like the people from Arkansas when they go to hang out in Texas. Oh, man. Anyway, so where do I begin? We still have stuff to speak about from last week, right? And we'll see. So that might take a little secondary thing. I want to stimulate some dialogue about Derek Chauvin being convicted, surprisingly. And even that in and of itself is surprising that we're surprised.
Yeah, right.
I think we got to spend a little time and deconstruct that because...
Hey. I had some Jake that I know from around the job, I'll leave it at that, that they were, did you hear the verdict? They were acting like Obama won, like when Obama won. Yo, that's crazy that we've been whittled down to be happy over a one in a million shot.
Right. And I think and you'll see some, I think I saw some stuff there. I don't know if some of the articles I have speaks about it, but that's a testament to how destroyed we are. Not their reaction, but the fact that it would elicit any type of joy mm-hmm. that the right thing was done.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like because if it was a white-on-white thing or any other race, they would not be rejoicing over it. So it's a testament to how jacked up our condition is that we need to rejoice when finally, mm-hmm. seemingly, justice is served. Seemingly. That shows what's wrong because it should not be such a rarity that it causes joy in our people that this Edomite, right, who the world ignorantly calls the white man, the Caucasian, mm-hmm. got convicted for suffocating one of our people. What did it say, 9 minutes, 23 seconds?
Something like that, yep.
160 pounds on his neck. Man, and I saw some comments. I got to stay away from the comment feeds on these things.
With the easel going
mm-hmm.
in? Hell yeah, bro. That thing had me vexed.
He was resisting arrest, so that's why he...
Drug addict.
Handcuffed on the floor. Resisting arrest for 9 minutes, 23 seconds? Like, did you watch the video?
He didn't resist arrest, not 1 minute.
Nope.
Okay. Was he a little bit agitated? Yeah. Did he say he had anxiety because he's close to fall? Okay. Do they lie? Yeah, but they knew this guy.
Right. Right.
So they, you know what I'm saying? They worked with each other.
And not just that. At what point is him just on the floor, handcuffed, resisting anymore?
Yeah, right.
Because you see what resisting is. You see what resistance is. So, like, how broadly is resistance defined?
You can't resist if you're already cuffed.
Right.
Because the purpose of the cuffs is to prevent you from resisting.
No. So even to that argument, does that deserve death? He saw resist arrest all the time.
Yeah, they don't even get the cuss put on.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They'll verbally resist the hell out of that.
They'll be like, no, I'm not going over there. They're like, sir, please.
Yep.
Right.
Come here.
Right.
Come here, or I'll say please again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. We've seen videos like that.
Yeah, I had to stop reading the comments because it was pissing me the hell off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it just goes to show you the hatred in their heart for us, that it will go down that way. So I'm thinking about this thing, and I said, gosh, I said, this is something like tears got to come down your eyes over this for what should be an obvious, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll read about it a little bit. And then I happened to see that, what was that Netflix thing?
Them?
No, not them.
Oh,
the little short film.
Prime.
What the hell is it called? I think he's a rapper, that dude, where like he keeps reliving every day, and the cop, gosh, I had just watched it.
It's like two something.
Hold on.
I want to name the name people.
Because it's good. Like, in a short, I might watch it again. Hold on. Let me see.
I heard someone say today.
Two Distant Strangers. You were close. Two Distant. Hey, and then it's that dude that played the he played the gangster in Limitless,
mm-hmm.
the one that was after him. It's like he's like good at being like he epitomizes what like an evil, hateful white cop would look like. Yeah, Two Distant Strangers. That's what it's called. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Andrew Power.
See, I want to talk about it, but I want people to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't say too much about it. If you haven't seen that, Two Distant Strangers, it's only 32 minutes on Netflix. It's pretty good. It, just from a theatrical perspective, it's really clever the way it was written and the concept. But, you know, you watch it with your spiritual eyes, it's pretty good. And, you know, I mean, it's not nothing that we don't know. It's not anything we don't know. But I like the way they put it in the short film. I think it's nominated for an Oscar and stuff, too. Like, it's a pretty good concept. Anyway, so at the end of it, he lists a whole bunch of people that were killed by police.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, there were a few Northern Kingdom names in there. So I was like, okay, all right, they're putting some respect on it.
Surprisingly, because they put it.
Right.
Not because it doesn't happen.
No. Exactly.
Okay.
I'm glad you clarified that.
You got to, because I know what, because it, there's statistics that show that actually more Native Americans and as much Hispanics get killed by
mm-hmm.
cops.
Yes. Right, and we don't bring that out for competition's sake.
No.
But there's a lot of people out there that don't, because by design, the media does not report on it as much. You would think that so-called Latinos, Northern Kingdom, are not killed and abused by the police as well, and it couldn't be further from the truth. And we spoke about this at length on previous episodes as well. And there's a lot of reasons that go behind it. And one of the primary is that a lot of them won't report these things. I'm talking about Northern Kingdom. And another one is, by and large, a lot of them are here illegally. So they're for fear of reprisal, they don't report these type of things.
Hey, and it goes back to the same statistics with abortion. Okay, the cops put you down as white.
Right. That's the other thing. Yeah. So what we were talking about is, you know, Bishop was bringing out the statistics on abortion, and I had looked up some statistics on this as well, and it seemingly looks like Hispanics don't do abortions. Like, they had whites with a higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the furthest thing from the truth. What happens is a lot of times they'll categorize themselves that way, and if they don't fill that in, you're instructed by appearance to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I forgot what it was. It was one of the jobs I had in the bank, and they were saying, it was a little controversial. You know, those optional questions that they ask sometimes if you've ever filled out a loan, the race, ethnicity, sex and stuff. They tell you that it's optional. But if I'm taking the application in person, I don't know if it's changed. I haven't been in banking in like 8 years. If observationally, you're instructed to make an assessment and pick that information up.
You as the banker.
Okay. My wife was driving about 2-3 years ago, and then she got, I can't remember if it was a ticket or a warning.
If you don't look like this brother or darker, that's what they're going to put.
Yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you had a little bit of an accent, you could pass for Simeon.
Hey, you saw how he looked at Cap, like, yeah, like you better agree.
Yeah, right?
I think you could pass for Ishmael, too.
Oh, man.
Hey, but that's just that's just the look of our people, though. That's not it's not an insult. I mean, we're a speckled bird. We were scattered into all nations, so we look like all nations.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Right.
So you got to remember that. You got to remember that. But anyway, so at the end of this short film, you know, he does a list, and I was surprised. I saw a few what you would see as Spanish last names, right? I mean, because that doesn't mean much either, but you know, going by just the name, you would look at that and say, wow, you know. And and even they acknowledge at the end of the film and many more, you know, and many more as well, that you know, it would be hard to encompass this sort of thing. And you know, people try to pull statistics and say, I don't remember where I saved it. I had one time, I think I spoke about it on the Saturday show, where someone had tried to post it to prove their argument that whites are killed at a higher rate or equally as our people, and they read the statistic line wrong. What they actually did was provide me with info that showed that it was a lot higher. It's disproportionate in everything when it comes to our people.
Yeah, when it comes to percentages, it's a caveat with percentages.
Yeah, it is, because with statistics, there's a lot of different stuff when you're dealing with statistics, and you have the R value and all this other stuff that goes into. I fell asleep a lot in statistics class. I had to take it, but I fell asleep a lot. Yeah. So like when you interpret these type of information, there's a certain way you're supposed to be able to interpret it. So anyway, so you got this conviction that went down, and then, you know, there's more details that got to come out. I'm not going to harp on that too much, but then 20 minutes before that, there's another one, young black girl, you know, killed. And you know, there's still stuff that needs to come out. I understand she had a knife and whatever and so on and so forth. But the overarching issue is this, right? Because people will take that one thing to try to marginalize or make invalid the issue of the way we're policed. And guess what? Sometimes it's our own people who are those policemen. And it goes to show you it's something that's in the police force, because your own people are not really raised like that.
Yeah,
very rarely to see themselves as the enemy. So there's something that happens in the police force. There's something that happens as they're being policed that shows this stuff. I think they just announced that they're going to investigate Minneapolis and Minnesota, because, yo, a lot of these, I didn't realize how many of these shootings are in Minnesota. What's going on in Minnesota?
No.
What's going on in Minnesota, man? They straight up there just popping our people. It's crazy. And listen, you look at things and you say there's situations of escalation, but then there's 10 more videos that'll show you how they deal with like a crazy white person with a knife or a gun, even with courtesy and respect and not as much force and not as much aggression. They'll take the lumps like that. So there's obviously a posture that's in them. And I'll take it a step further. It's not just even what's the culture that they're learning, let's say, on the police force. It's what's in their spirit, right? And, you know, psychology and sociology will try to tell you, well, they learn behaviors to a point. I'll agree with that. Their parents are teaching them differently than what we teach our kids and things like that. They give them that superiority complex and everything that they have. But we cannot discount the spiritual aspect of how this man is. Let's get that their soul is not upright in them, right?
Hey, well, you're getting that.
Someone said choppy sound. Mike got static.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Okay. So should I talk or no? Producer. Producer.
Should he speak or should we wait until we fix it?
Give me one second.
See, I did like the Kermit with drinking the tea with the water. I just
None of my business.
None of my business.
Yep.
You and us and the 114 other people on YouTube.
Hey, is it me? Does the Christian church sound like they turned up the volume and upgraded their speaker system?
There was that.
Freaking evil. All right. Well, we're not trying to give you dead air, but we're trying to fix this, and we don't want to speak and then points are missed. So. Just bear with us while they
somebody said it sounds like we're in the Matrix.
Someone today said, this is why we went out and this is why we voted. Right here. Talking about the conviction.
Jake?
Oh my God.
Like, nigga.
Right.
You know, a lot of times I humor, bring out humor and stuff like that, because sometimes you're so angry,
mm-hmm.
that you gotta have some levity.
Oh yeah, for sure.
To make it go through, because the nonsensical nonsense that our people bring out is, I mean, our people are adult babies.
That makes sense.
Right, right. Again, I'll never forget. Bishop brought this out years ago when I went with him on a visit to Dallas. This is when I was still in New York. And he did a radio show out there.
We're good now.
And his topic of the show was how the black and Hispanic man able to mature physically, but not emotionally and not mentally.
Yep.
They keep us like big babies, basically what you say.
We're big freaking babies, man. We're a huge adult daycare. And Esau understands that.
Mm-hmm.
They understood what the Willie Lynch letter, what the stuff in the Willie Lynch letter did.
Yep.
So what I wanted to say real quick, instead of sound is better, is that what happens is, and I'm going to speak only for New York City. Again, this is not negating what the scripture we're going to bring on now, because this is very much the main reason why. But this is an ancillary reason. Is a lot of these Edomite cops, they live in what we call Cupcake Island. They live in their bubble. And when they come to the city, they're policing predominantly Jake, us, blacks, Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
So they already come with a stereotype up there based on, A, what their parents taught them growing up about us, and B, the bubble that they live in, because they only see themselves. And with a little sprinkling of Jake that, you know, they think they're Esau and want to live up there. So when they come down to the city, and I'm speaking, and y'all know what I'm saying, okay? They already come in with that stigma that we're animals, that we're lowlives, and that we're nothing. Okay, and that's a lot of the stuff that I saw throughout my career was a big, big issue. How can you police a neighborhood, a community, if you cannot relate to them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no academy in the world. There's no degrees on criminal justice in the world that is going to keep the human fact, that's going to teach you the human factor
mm-hmm.
of it. But again, this scripture supersedes all of that. Like I said, this is an ancillary fact to this scripture here, because at the end of the day, this is what the scripture
is. Right. This is really the why behind why they'll never relate to us.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's no sound I'm hearing.
That's a new one?
Yeah.
Are we still there? Do you guys have us?
We should be good.
It might be an old message.
No,
you on Facebook?
Text I just got.
Oh, on text?
Yeah.
You guys can still hear us? Can some of you just respond if you
put
can hear
a thumb
us?
Or something.
Yeah, thumbs up or whatever. Maybe it's the Christian church.
Okay. All right.
We good.
Okay.
All right.
So someone said the mic is not upright. When I said it's so not upright in him.
I hear that. Whoever said that.
Oh, snap. I just saw that.
Nah, it's annoying. I feel you.
Right. So listen, it really stems from that. There's the spiritual aspect, right? So that's really, you know, they're never going to relate to us because they hate us. Like it's in their bones to hate us. Right. And listen, this is one that's brought out a lot in general in Israel, but it's necessary, right? And we bring it out a lot on the show when we deal with mm-hmm. topics like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring this out.
The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4.
Bring it out!
His soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him.
Right, so his soul is not upright in him. You have to understand that. And I thought about that when I was looking at Two Distant Strangers, right? And like I said, you got to wait till towards the end till you really, like, because you're going to watch it, it's going to make you think like, oh, look, they're getting along, they're relating. There's a part where you're going to be like, they're getting along, they're relating. And then he shows you how his soul is not upright in him. If y'all seen it, you know what I'm talking about, so you probably know what part. It's 32 minutes, and that includes credits, so it's not long. So y'all should peep it really quick. What else on there?
But the just shall live by his faith.
Right. Okay. So that's the only part I want is his soul is not upright in him. Let's go to Genesis 27 and 41. Esau is the progenitor of the white race.
I got to bring something out on that.
Go ahead.
Okay. Read it one more time.
Go ahead.
Read it one more time. It just came to me, and it was something that you mentioned earlier. Read that again.
The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him.
All right, here's we know that that's Esau, right? His soul that is lifted up is not right in him. Check it out.
Which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
The just shall live by voting?
Right.
By voting? Okay. By voting?
No, sir.
Okay. By getting into politics? Seeing issues and just talking about them?
Negativo, Chivo.
What does it say?
But the just shall live by his faith.
By his faith in the scriptures, which clearly says that our only salvation and comfort and shield and buckler from our oppression right now is this Bible. That is the only thing that's going to go ahead and defeat that unupright soul, because half the battle is knowing that it's not upright.
Mm-hmm.
See, our people don't believe that it's not upright. They believe because Massa gave them a raise, because Massa talks to them at the job,
right?
That Massa love them. And not all Massas. Yeah, there's some bad Massas, but not all Massas are bad. Scripture doesn't say some of their spirits are not upright. What does it say?
Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him.
And it goes deep. It says his soul, not his personality.
Mm-hmm.
His soul, not because he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. His soul always wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, is what the scripture says. So you are not going to change this but through this Bible.
Hey, and when you think about the soul, it reminds me of, where's the one where it says their children will... Basically, it's saying something like Esau's children will pay for like...
Oh, that's Isaiah 14 and 21.
Get that real quick. Because essentially, we understand through regeneration, like it's not just us that's regenerated, right? There's souls, and all souls get regenerated, right? Until the final purpose is done, right? And they're destroyed for good. That means no matter what iteration of that individual is here, no matter what time in history mm-hmm. that he comes, whether it's a time of peace and love, whether it's a time of this, whether he had different parents that didn't teach him this stuff, he will invariably become that thing that he's supposed to be.
You know what? That's important, what you just said, Cap? It's important because that's the mentality of our people, right? Oh, but that was then. Mm-hmm. That was the 60s. No. Civil rights changed all of that. No, it did not. Civil rights made it worse. It made it worse because what it did was put us to sleep and be blinded by the true help, which is this Bible.
Right. Let me tell you, the Most High telling you that it's his soul, and this is why you got to understand all the different aspects of the scriptures, really lets you know, it says the soul that's lifted up, the meaning that soul that I put in this particular body in this generation.
Right.
Is the
right.
same soul that was whipping them and raping right. them. It's the same soul that killed them. It's the same soul that lynched them. It don't matter. Yes, that little cute little Edomite baby, right, that looks real adorable, that you're like, oh, so cute.
In the Pampers box.
Right, in the Pampers box. His soul is not upright in him. His soul is not upright in him.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 21. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers.
Why? Because their soul with the regeneration, because it's the same people. Like Christ said, this same generation. This same wicked generation, just like the same righteous generation was there, the same wicked generation. You prepare slaughter for the children because of what the fathers did, because they are their fathers. And I don't mean in some type of cliche type of thing that the apple don't fall far from the tree. It's the same person. It's the same person based on the regeneration. Are they more in that verse?
That they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities.
Right, meaning because it's a fixed fight. They're not going to continue to be able to continue on like that. Hey, and you said something else, Cap, that it's not voting, it's not this, it's this stuff. It's the shield and buckler. I'm going to give you a different scripture. Let's get Ecclesiastes 7 and 12. Because in other words, we need a defense, and the Bible's our defense, but there's another way that it's said here in Ecclesiastes 7 and 12. And after verse 12, before we get what I said in Genesis, we're going to read verse 13. So Ecclesiastes 7 and 12.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 12.
Read it out.
For wisdom is a defense.
Wisdom. Wisdom is a defense. That's basically what Cap was saying. Not voting, not rallying, not getting in politics. The wisdom of this, because the only wisdom, when you're reading in the Bible, that's wisdom, is the wisdom of these scriptures. It says wisdom is that defense. Wisdom will keep you from this rejoicing over this guy getting convicted, put your defensive down and say, oh, we've seen some change. That's part of the illusion of inclusion that we spoke about with that definition. Can you pull that definition up for the illusion of inclusion? I want that first line.
Hey, while he's getting that real quick. If you believe in regeneration, which we know is true, mm-hmm. and we come back, right? We meaning the Israelites. You think those evil spirits ain't going to come back with them?
Yeah, right.
We came back evil, did we not?
Yep.
Until we learned this truth
yep.
again, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not going to come back again? Come on, man.
Right. So it says here, we read this last week. We're not done with this. We're going to come back and read the whole verse. It says, the illusion of inclusion has been defined as the sometimes subtle ways. And I would say sometimes not so subtle
yeah, right.
with something like
right.
what just happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The sometimes subtle ways that the standards can appear to adequately address race while at the same time marginalizing it. That's the statement that we started the show with. It appears that justice was finally served for our people by him being convicted of all counts, murder included, not some lesser charge,
mm-hmm.
actual murder. Cops don't get convicted of murder. We're going to read some articles that talk about that, not just against Black and Hispanics. They don't get convicted of a murder in general because of the nature of the profession, right? But even more so when it comes to our people, because we're going to read an opposing article that actually addresses it. You know, some of these articles, they'll put them out, and they're not pro one way or the other, but they stay right down the middle. And you would say that's good reporting, but not in the context of issues like this. There's certain issues that you got to be able to relay both sides
when
you're doing journalism.
That's safe reporting. A real journalist
yes.
will bring it out like
yes.
it is.
Yes.
And we don't have that anymore.
Right. No. No. Opinion pieces occasionally by people who are not professional journalists, right? You have like guest writers that'll write something. But you're right. Journalists don't do that stuff anymore because of cancel culture and everything
yeah.
else. You can't say stuff.
And even those people, there's no real substance.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right. So when it says you would think that the verdict adequately addresses race, you will say to yourself, if you don't have wisdom,
yeah, right.
that, wow, changing in America. Black Lives Matter made this conviction happen, because I read another thing that says maybe it was Black Lives Matter that helped sway people to get the conviction. And it says, while also marginalizing it. The marginalizing it is the mere fact that we have to rejoice over what should be equal treatment, equal race. And mind you, the Bible doesn't want equality. God doesn't want us to think equality. That's part of wisdom as well. He wants us to think superiority. The people who pretend to be us, I'm not going to say more than that so we don't get canceled for some anti-Semite stuff, right? The people who pretend to be us walk around with that air of superiority.
Yeah,
they teach their children that. And we don't. We stay away from that. So go back to Ecclesiastes 7 and 12.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 12.
Freedom!
For wisdom is a defense.
Wisdom is a defense, like Catherine Parham was talking about. It doesn't say, it says the just shall live by faith. Wisdom is a defense. Come on.
And money is a defense.
And we're not dealing with that piece of it, right? That's a whole nother piece. But go ahead, come on.
But the excellence of knowledge is.
The excellency of knowledge, meaning the chiefest thing of knowledge, the excellency of it. Because all knowledge is good, but there's an excellency of knowledge. And this is what makes knowledge so excellent, what makes wisdom a defense. Come on.
That wisdom giveth life to them that have it.
That if you have this wisdom in the Bible, if you have this knowledge in the Bible, it will give you life. That's like what it says in Baruch.
Mm-hmm.
This is the book of the commandment. Them that keep them will come to life. This is it. And if you don't do it, you'll come to death. But going back to the soul is not upright in him, read the next verse.
Verse 13.
Because this is wisdom. And right in the next verse, he clarifies some wisdom for you so that you don't get put to sleep. Like you said, like if Obama got elected the way people were so happy
that
this guy
got
convicted.
No comment.
Right? Listen, it don't take them nothing to put one person in jail to pacify things. No. Don't be surprised if they just didn't want any more damn riots and somebody spoke to somebody and said, hey, man, listen, man, let's just throw him this one.
Just collateral damage, man.
Right.
Get into
yeah,
exactly.
yeah. Let's just
exactly.
throw him this one. Hey, yeah, listen. And you would think it sounds crazy. They might even say, look, we're going to make your family a deal, right? We're going to take care of them, but you ain't getting out of this. You ain't getting out of it.
That's exactly what I said, too. I said his family will be taken care of.
Oh, there'll yeah. be some GoFundMes. The
exactly.
the whole
yep.
supremacist community is going to yep. come behind his family and take care of him.
Do you know what the sentence was? Did they get the sentence yet?
They said 40. I think it was 40 years for the first charge, 25. He's going to be locked up for the rest of his life. I don't know if there's possibility of parole.
I don't even know.
it'll come out to like a combined 100-something years on all three charges.
I would be surprised if he stays in there.
Right. I think he's supposed to be sentenced this week, later this week, I think. Not today. I think later this week is sentencing. Or is it in a month? No, I think the sentencing's in a month.
Yeah, it's typically about a
month.
But
he's going to stay locked up until the sentencing.
Yeah, and then they just take that away from.
Right. Yeah, that counts towards your time.
Yeah.
So it says, consider the work of God. This is wisdom, what you're about to read. Come on.
Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight, which he have made crooked?
This goes into that soul not being upright in him. Consider the work of God. You are fooling yourself if by this so-called victory that our people got yesterday, all right, changes anything by any measure. We just read that his soul's not upright in him. Upright means what? Crooked, not straight, not right, not just. And it says, this is the work of God. It says, for what? Who can make that straight which he have made crooked? Politics, your tears, your hugs, your rallying with them. God made it crooked. Your hands are too short to box with God. You're not going to change what God has ordained. And this is what the progenitor of these people has in his heart from the beginning, Genesis 27:41. And when I say from the beginning, understand Esau is the spirit of Cain. So from the beginning, with the hatred there, you see it here also. That same spirit came into Esau. Come on.
The book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him.
He hates us because he knows that we are God's chosen. He hates us. Even if he don't know in his mind, his soul that's not upright in him knows that we the top and he's the bottom.
Hey, Kat, check this out. You read this here in Genesis 27:41. You never read anywhere in the Bible where they reconciled.
No. No.
This is where it stands.
It just says that he wound up not killing him, right?
He wound up, he hugged him, whatever. But they hug us
hate,
too.
It never says that the hate left them. Mm-hmm. You'll see that they made peace for a time, but it never says, because remember what the blessing was for him, that the yoke would have to come off his head and he would rule his brother.
And it did.
And it did.
We know that in Chronicles that happened.
Yep.
And it continued. The hate continued.
Right. Which is why it says the class title today is From Egypt to America. We still a people robbed and spoiled to this day,
mm-hmm.
right? So he says, and Esau hated Jacob, and he gives you the reason. Because somebody said, why do you hate us? Remember, I always talk about that one video where the cop shot the dude. He said, why'd you shoot me? I don't know. Cop told him, I don't know.
Hey, this is why. Interesting what Sean Benjamin put on there. And this is what I'm saying. What he said about? There's footage on YouTube called Sentence Cops Living Free. The majority of times, they just publicly... announce their verdict, but they have communities they get to go live in free.
Wow. Oh, I just see it. Footage on you. Sentence cops living free. Wow. I tell you, and then people be like, oh, you can't believe that. It's not.
First of all, he's never going to go in general population, so you'll never know if he's in there or not.
Right.
Cops don't go in general population.
Yep.
They can't because they'll get killed day one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. It puts you in a certain section of the prison, and you'll never know anything about the person again.
Hey, and even without that, the point is that the fact that it has to be something that for some was pleasing, the fact that it's something that we got, you can't lose that point, that we're rejoicing over that, goes to show you how twisted. Does Esau rejoice like that? Like, I mean, yes, the people involved in the case, but does all of the white nation rejoice when somebody that did something to a white person gets convicted?
Mm-hmm.
No.
They were pissed when OJ got free.
Oh, yeah, they'll be angry together.
Yeah.
They'll be angry together. They don't rejoice in all that stuff. Yeah,
They still got justice in the civil.
Right, they did. They did, because they essentially destroyed them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him.
Because of his blessing, because he knows that we're the head, right? And he's the tail, really, not in this life. But he knows that.
And that's how you know it never went away, because a blessing never goes away.
A blessing never goes away.
So Esau always understood that blessing will always be on us.
Yeah. In his soul. That means even if in this generation he doesn't realize that, even if he won't acknowledge us as such, there's a reason in his soul that he hates us. Go ahead.
And this is Amos 1 verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword. and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever.
That's it. Wow, forever.
That's the headbanger.
And then there's a precept under that says Genesis 27, verse 41.
Wow. Look at that. Look at that. Precepts to the same thing.
Let me tell you. First of all, because Cap brought out something real quick. All right, about those of you know that the spirit of Cain is the spirit of Esau today, right? One of his curses was he would be a fugitive and a vagabond. The same way they have that hate, their spirit is not upright in them, the scripture that Cap just brought out, that's the same way they are fugitive and vagabond. They know that. They know that they have to take things by force, that nothing will... See, this is real deep, man. This whole thing goes deep. In their soul, in our soul, we knew something wasn't right before we repented, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know something ain't right. Mm-hmm. In their soul, they know that things are out of course too.
Mm-hmm.
And they know their time is short. That's why Revelation 12 says that old serpent, Satan, okay? And he's wroth. And when you read Revelation 12, 17, because he sees that his time of ruling is done.
Yep.
Very soon, it is done. This rabbit hole is deep, man.
Hey, I've seen some, like, in different situations in camp or whatever, and they'll be like, well, why should I? We don't envy you. Why should we envy you? You guys are in squalor. You guys are like this, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But deep down, they do. And it's because of that blessing. Their soul knows it. If their mind doesn't, their soul does. And that's the part that they can't reconcile within themselves.
Yeah, right.
That's why Habakkuk doesn't say the person is not upright. Mm-hmm. Their soul.
Yes.
Because that goes deep. Just like Hebrews 4 and 12 says that this word cuts deep to the asunder, the soul is the same exact thing.
Yeah, like there's been times in camps where Edomites come by and scoff and like, I'm like, see, you're laughing because that's that envy. And then that's that envy deep down inside of you.
When people laugh, right? That's
that insecurity right there because you know what's on that sign is
true.
That's
what it is. That's what it's a deflection.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, there's somewhere they'll try to come and give you a hug. They'll try to kiss your boots, all that other stuff. Bro, none of that stuff should faze you whatsoever. Hey, just like you don't like the videos when they talk about how they Esau, right? It's the same thing. So what? People get fooled by that is my point.
We already cleared.
Right? Yeah. People get fooled.
That's just Prince heard the mark.
People.
He didn't even do it like Power. He went.
My thing is this. It's unnecessary for someone that's an officer to share in the officer chat. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, all
right, but we'll digress.
We all know.
Right. I get you. Go ahead. Reverse 41 again.
And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.
Right. And when he says it's in his heart, it means it's in his spirit. It means that he might not say it outwardly, mm-hmm. but in his spirit, that's his mindset. I will slay my brother Jacob. Come on, read on.
And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as such indeed, doth comfort himself. Kill thee.
So two things you got to get out of here, right? Mm-mm. Two things. The first is that last line. It says Esau, who is the progenitor of the white man, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means that spirit of hatred is in all his seed to this day. It says he comforts himself by purposing to kill us. They comfort themselves.
That's heavy right there.
But mm-hmm. that is, you know how like,
that's a banger.
You know how like if you have, I get heartburn. So I take Tums or I take some Pepto, and it comforts me. It takes my heartburn away. Their comfort, when they're uncomfortable, is to kill one of us.
That's crazy.
It's to kill our people. We are killed all the day long, right?
But to rejoice when we're killed.
Right. They rejoice when they kill. Let me show you the second thing here. It said that the last line in 41 where he said in his heart, meaning he did not speak it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And it said these words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah. Letting you know that the Most High, right, she didn't hear it from him. That means the Most High sent them words into her to say, hey, your son wants to do this thing. He's doing that same thing today in an analogous way by us with that wisdom as a defense, bringing out the scripture. Never trust your enemy. Stop rejoicing over these things. Stop looking at that stuff. The Most High is trying to talk to you, black and Hispanic man, mm-hmm. to let you know and show you who your enemies are today. Let me tell you something. Part of this walk, for those of you that still got a Christian mindset, is to accept and acknowledge that you have enemies and who those enemies are.
Right.
who those enemies are. Because you cannot sit here, profess Israel, and profess keeping the commandments and not realize that there are enemies there. Because then you're just being a Christian. You're just modifying this truth to be a Christian.
I was just going
to
say, you can't even sit in Christianity and believe that, that you have no enemies.
Right.
You can't, because all over the Bible says we have enemies, number one. Number two, the scripture says, he says in his heart. We know according to Mark 7:21, that's the mind, right?
Yep.
If something's always on your mind, that means that that person, that Edomite sitting next to you having lunch, mm-hmm. next to your cubicle, in the board meeting, in the company meeting, in their mind, they're looking at you with hatred.
Yep.
And so they may not even say, "Damn, why do I hate this person?" You know what I'm saying? That's real heavy that you brought up that thing, because what the mind of man can perceive and conceive, it will achieve. And that's what right. they've done.
Right.
That was good.
Right.
It was good.
that's all I got on those scriptures for now. For now.
Right.
Let me pull up the article. I know I posted a few articles. Let me see which one. Oh, so first post the thing that LeVar Burton put.
Oh, gosh.
Which is not 100% accurate, I found out. But okay. It sure feel like it. So that's why I'm going to talk about it anyway. So I saw this and I said, my goodness. Right. It says, not in the entire history of black people in America has a white police officer been convicted of the murder of a black person. Not in 400 years. Right. Because he was trying to tell you, like, look at how crazy this is. Right. Like, this is the first time. Like, he basically trying to say that it's a big win. That's actually not true. As we read, I did a little research. There was in 2015, there was a cop who got convicted of murder for killing a black person. It just didn't make big news. All right. We'll get to that article in a moment. What's the first one I put? Yes. So let's put the first one, how Derek Chauvin became the rare police officer convicted of murder. Let's look at that one real quick. Notice it says rare. This was the one that I said is more like you said, weak reporting. This is the weak reporting one, but we'll read it because it's short. So this is the Washington Post. It says, the case against Derek Chauvin looked formidable. Video footage captured him with his knee pressed against George Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes. Former Minneapolis police colleagues testified against Chauvin. Medical experts convincingly tied Floyd's death to Chauvin's use of force. But legal experts said Chauvin had one big factor in his favor. He was a police officer, and that meant prosecutors faced long odds. In the end, they overcame those odds. Chauvin was found guilty on all counts Tuesday, becoming the rare police officer convicted of murder for killing someone while on duty. That outcome, experts said, was due to an overwhelming case presented by prosecutors who sought to fully sever Chauvin from policing, the job he held for nearly two decades, and Chauvin's defense could not overcome the trial's centerpiece, video of the white police officer driving his knee into Floyd's neck as the black man gasped for air. And that's BS, because they got video of them choking out and killing Eric Garner, mm-hmm. and that guy didn't get convicted. And they told you it was an illegal hold, like it was made in court, right? So it's not really the video. There's something else that's obviously at play here, and I'm not going to harp on that, right, because we know the powers that be and how they roll, right? But so they're saying it's the video. The defense was boxed in many ways and had to make the case his conduct was reasonable, said Philip N. Stinson, a criminologist at Bowling Green State University who studies arrest of police officers. But the problem is you can't rationally explain Derek Chauvin's conduct. The jury's decision convicting Chauvin. So he let you know what the legal strategy is.
Yep.
If they can, even with video, if you can rationally explain, and then you know how that stuff goes with juries, mm-hmm. and then persuade the jurors, you got to understand something about the court system. People have variance in opinion and how they receive information and how they process information. There's things in their heart that you're not clear of, right? There's the joke of a jury of your peers, and a jury of your peers, if you're a black or Hispanic man, would be all your own people. Not any other race, but that has changed over time where your peers is just other human beings, right? That's how they look at it now. So you don't really know what's in these people's mind. And, you know, they have this whole process, the voir dire process and everything, and it's supposed to put people out and all this other stuff. Even with all that, it's still up to a jury, and it's up to individuals and their opinions, right? Because it's purely based on opinion. They say, yo, it has to be without a reasonable doubt. But what really constitutes beyond a reasonable doubt? Right. So it's all a farce. It's a kangaroo court, literally. It's a kangaroo court in that system. So it says the jury's decision convicting Chauvin of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter after deliberating for about 10 hours capped the most prominent policing trial in decades. That thing went pretty quick, too, now that I think about it. The case was grueling, with prosecutors calling up a parade of tearful bystanders, disapproving police officers, and blunt-speaking medical experts since testimony began 3 weeks ago. But although the evidence and testimony against Chauvin seemed devastating to some observers, legal analysts and policing experts warned that such trials are never easy to win. So even with all that, they're telling you there's a precedent when it comes to the police. Police officers who kill people while on duty are seldom charged with crimes. And when they are, convictions are sparse. Now, I want to say this. We're pro-police, right? Mm-hmm. We understand that according to the Book of Romans. It tells you obey the powers that be. They're not a terror to good works. We got to put the people in mind and subject to obey magistrates and so on and so forth, right? This isn't about the police as much as it is about the spirit and the soul being not upright in these people. That's what we're really talking about. Because somebody might hear this, oh, you're not pro-police or whatever. Listen, something going on and I need the police. I want the police to come help me.
Blue lives matter, right? Man.
Yeah, I heard that thing.
Just imagine if there weren't any cops, how our people would be.
Forget it. Right. And that's part of our judgment, too. We can't police and judge ourselves. So we got the Most High set the other nations over us to judge us. But it says police in the United States shoot and kill about 1,000 people a year, according to Washington Post database. Most of these people are armed and the shootings deemed justified. When police are charged in those cases, the officers are convicted in fewer than half the cases, often on lesser charges, including in cases with video that fuels public outrage. Legal and policing experts, as well as lawyers who have worked on such cases, attribute these outcomes to consistent factors. Police have considerable legal latitude to use force, including deadly force. When accused of murder, they can point to their training, saying they followed it when using force, and in court, judges and juries trust them. And here's the thing that you got to realize. I think I had brought this out when we were doing another show, I think, and somehow we were talking about white supremacy. White supremacist goal and those white supremacist groups, their first target is to infiltrate police forces. That's their strategy. This is something that, like, this is intel that's been gathered by white supremacist groups. Their strategy is to infiltrate police forces. So I'm not saying all cops are white supremacists.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that there is a strategy at these levels to infiltrate. And they've gone further because they've infiltrated Congress and everything else. Their goal is to infiltrate police forces because they know this, what we just read here. Because rightly so, they probably should have some latitude, or else they'd be afraid to police, right? So they got to be able to do certain things. What you have to understand as we read this stuff, and the reason I'm reading this one first before I read the opinion piece, is – Captain Aparin worded it when he was talking about New York. They cannot relate to us. They're not in the same. It's a different spirit. It's a different culture. It's a different thing. So we are aggressively policed. I've been sitting on it for a while. I say that there's I have some articles. It's a series of a former police officer. I think he's now in some sort of legal thing. And he wrote and he's done research that shows that Black and Hispanic communities are by and large policed very different.
Mm-hmm.
They are taught to be police different. Their experiences taught to police are different. That's for maybe some future shows, Lord's Will Life Last. So it says, oftentimes what we see in these cases is one or two jurors will be very reluctant to convict an officer. They just aren't willing to judge a police officer for their on-duty acts of violence. Even the gripping video of Floyd pinned down that spurred a global outcry and was replayed in court would not necessarily be enough to sway a jury, Stinson said. We've seen with other cases there has been damning video evidence and the prosecution has struggled to get a conviction, he said. This was not a slam dunk for the prosecution. I think they were well aware it was going to be a difficult case. Chauvin's defense attempted to appeal to at least some of the factors that have benefited officers in other cases. Eric Nelson, the former officer's defense attorney, said during his closing argument that in his encounter with Floyd, Chauvin was following his police training and acting as any reasonable officer would have in his position. That defense comes from the Supreme Court's 1989 Graham versus Connor decision, which says an officer's actions must be judged against what a reasonable officer would do in the same situation. This argument has been crucial in many cases when police are charged over their use of force, experts say. But the argument that Chauvin followed his training and did what a reasonable officer might do were undercut by the multiple Minneapolis police officials, including Chief Madaria Arredondo, who said the former officer had violated police training and ethos, said Christopher Slobogin, a law professor at Vanderbilt University. They threw him to the dogs, basically. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, the prosecution did a great job because they put officer after officer on the stand to show that, actually, a reasonable cop would not have acted the way Chauvin did, Slobogin said. It was unreasonable to do what Chauvin did, and the cops are trained to do just the opposite under similar circumstances. Still, lawyers said history has shown that at least some jurors might hesitate to convict police officers on the most serious charges. So this is what I was saying before. Even with all that, there's jurors that won't do it. These jurors, they say, recognize that policing can be dangerous and that officers might have to make split-second decisions in dangerous circumstances. Some legal experts and attorneys thought Chauvin's strong defense strategy heading into the trial might be to appeal to any jurors reluctant to convict police, seeking to sway their votes, deadlock the jury, and force a mistrial. So you see, it's not real justice. It's all strategy. And listen, all you have to do is try to deadlock a jury and force a mistrial, and you're off the hook. If you're white, because that stuff don't work a lot when it comes to our people. Prosecutors appear to acknowledge this possibility in their closing remarks, recognizing that it might be difficult for some jurors to vote to convict a police officer. It may be hard for many of you to imagine a police officer doing something like this, prosecutor Steve Schlaker said during closing arguments. Imagining a police officer committing a crime might be the most difficult thing you have to set aside, because that's just not the way we think of police officers. We trust the police. But Schleicher said that is not a prosecution of the police. Instead, he said what Chauvin did was not policing. I don't need to read the rest of that one. Let me get the other one. What does it mean when white police are convicted? That's the one I want. The other one just has a list of cases. This is an opinion piece. Looks like a brother, by Brando Samed Starkey. And this is actually from 2018. And the fact that you can even use this, even though it's a two-year-old article, just goes to show you what we're bringing out. So it says, what does it mean when white police are convicted of killing blacks? We'll know the system is fair when we are no longer surprised. Mm-hmm. And that's a good point. Mind you, this is a 2018 article. He didn't write this in response to the Chauvin thing, right? We were surprised that Chauvin got convicted. We were surprised. He said, we'll know the system is fair when we're no longer surprised. And I'll gander to say some of his arguments. We know the system will never be fair based on what we brought out in the scriptures to start off. So it says, in her book, White Women, Rape and the Power of Race in Virginia, 1900 to 1960, Lisa Linquist-Dorr tells the story of Nanny Strayhorn. This thing is going to piss you off. A black woman living in Jim Crow Richmond, Virginia. In October 1946, Strayhorn, a 32-year-old mother of two sons, argued with a male companion inside his car one evening after leaving a dance. She wanted him to take her home. He had other things in mind. As the two argued at about 2:45 a.m., two white male police officers, Carl Burleson, 27, and Leonard Davis, 43, came upon the scene. They told her to exit the vehicle and they would get her home. A relieved Strayhorn hopped into the back seat of their ride, but instead of taking her home, they took her to a dead-end street where they took turns raping her. After the brutal crime, they drove to a location a short walk from her home and freed her. Immediately upon returning home, Strayhorn disclosed to her brother that two white officers had sexually assaulted her. The next day, with her attorney, Linwood Smith, and her brother in tow, Strayhorn filed a complaint with the police chief against the two officers. Burleson and Davis were arrested, and the following January, all white juries convicted both of them in separate trials after an hour of deliberation. And this is in Jim Crow era. So they actually convicted these white cops for raping this black woman. Now, it's not murder. It's a little different, right? But they convicted her of this. The incident establishes that a racist system can allow for anti-racist actions sometimes. Goes back to the illusion of inclusion, yep. That it's subtle ways that will make it appear to address race. So you occasionally get a win and think that the system is not rigged. That's part of that draw in to make you feel like this, because they'll point to these things. And you'll have your people, our people, will defend this and point to instances like this and say, well, what about this? What about that? Mm-hmm. So you can't say all. They'll try to trip you on your words.
Crafty counsel.
Right. So it says, the incident establishes that a racist system can allow for anti-racist action sometimes. Even in the segregated South, white police officers did sporadically face conviction for crimes against black people. No one could reasonably argue that Virginia in 1946 stood as a shining beacon of racial fairness. The system allowed Strayhorn to taste justice only because doing so didn't undermine white supremacy. So he's going to take this a little deeper and help you to try to understand when and how they allow white convictions to happen. All right. He says the Strayhorn case where she was raped, it didn't undermine their white supremacy. So this is why they were able to convict. And he's going to explain it. America occasionally extends justice to black people. Occasionally. Occasionally. Hey, and when I read black people, understand, I'm thinking all Israel. That includes, I'm not thinking of a skin color. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of just a proverb and a byword that they subscribe to our people. All right. America occasionally extends justice to black people who are victims of police brutality because extending that justice in a few instances keeps intact the racially oppressive nature of the system. So he's telling you that it actually helps the system stay intact rather than break it down. In fact, granting infrequent justice enables stewards of the system to exalt its supposed impartiality. This is what I was saying earlier. So they'll point to it and say, well, see, it's not partial. It's impartial because this one got convicted, that one got convicted, yep. This one. And then, like I said, if you just look at the end of that movie, Two Distant Strangers, and that's not even the whole list, right? And if we have time, we'll read the other article. And he highlights some cases there. So he says the black population of Richmond who complained of police barbarism could be silenced with the story of Nanny Strayhorn. The stewards of the system could say, we did right by her because she was an actual victim. That other claims of brutality went unatoned only proves that nothing really happened. So it marginalizes. That goes back to that definition of the illusion of inclusion. Mm-hmm. It appears to adequately address race, but it actually marginalizes it. Because now they say, well, oh, she got convicted because that was legitimate. Mm-hmm. That was legitimate. So then talk to me about Breonna Taylor. Talk to me about Fernando Castillo.
Talk about Tamir Rice.
Talk about Tamir Rice.
He was out there playing with his toy gun. And he just don't even get out the car. Don't even say, hey, put that down. Don't even follow police procedures. Rolls right up and kills him. What about that?
And no conviction.
No, that one was a super smack in the face.
No conviction.
That could have been any one of our kids out there playing. I killed
him. This is not a victory.
Nope.
What this guy getting convicted is not a victory. Right? Especially as the author of this opinion piece brings this out. I'm going to read that last part again. He says the stewards of the system could then say we did right by her. So they're going to say they did right by George Floyd now, yep, because he was an actual victim. And that other claims of brutality are unatoned because it proves that nothing really happened. On October 6th, a Chicago jury convicted Jason Van Dyke, a white Chicago police officer, of second-degree murder. So this is why I'm saying LeVar Burton's thing is not accurate. It hasn't been for because... you're talking about, I think, this is October 6, 2018. This was it wasn't a national case. Didn't get national attention. So a white Chicago police officer was convicted of second-degree murder. His victim was Laquan McDonald, a black 17-year-old high school student. And his family received the justice that routinely evades black people complaining of abuse by white police officers. This conviction, along with that of Roy D. Oliver II, a Texas police officer convicted in August of murdering Jordan Edwards, 15, might signal to some that the work of social movements like Black Lives Matter has bent the criminal justice system in a fairer direction. You'll have people that'll say, see, Black Lives Matter has helped us get convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll point to that, right? So that's why I say LeVar Burton's thing, I put it up there to say, even though it's not factually true, it sure hell seems like it, yep, because there's only a few cases that you can point to where they've gotten convicted for murder against our people. Like you say, you bring out that Tamir Rice one, that should have been a home run too. Mm-hmm. That means that they were able to argue and somebody on the jury of peers believed that it was reasonable what the police officer did to Tamir Rice.
That's not reasonable.
But that goes back to, see, this is what I'm saying. This isn't about the police, brothers and sisters, right? It isn't about the police. It's to show you their soul is not upright in them. That they could justify that those type of actions were reasonable. that that was reasonable behavior. Botham Jean sitting down in his freaking apartment eating ice cream. Mm-hmm. But that one's jacked. I mean, they're all jacked up. They all hurt my heart. But I'm just thinking, damn, you know, that could be one of our children. That could be one of us.
Yep.
Just sitting down, kicking back from a long day. I'm enjoying the hell out of some ice cream, watching some TV, and someone comes in and just shoots the shit out of me. Part of my language.
In your own house.
In your own house.
Where you're supposed to feel safe.
Where you're supposed to feel safe. And people could say, well, she got convicted. Not a murder. She got a manslaughter charge.
Right.
And then what happened at the end of it? God forgives her. Right? Didn't one of his relatives go over and hug her? The black judge came over and gave her her Bible.
The court officer was massaging her hair.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
We forget that one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Fixing her hair and stuff.
So it says...
Okay, Ms. Ann, you good.
So it might signal to some that the work of social movements like Black Lives Matter has bent the criminal justice system in a fairer direction. After I learned of the Van Dyke conviction, I blocked from entering my mind thoughts that perhaps the criminal justice system is improving. See, and this is what you got to do. This guy's not even in the truth. Mm-hmm. And he was able to block from entering in his mind that the criminal justice system is improving. Don't look at these things that you see. That's the illusion of inclusion, brothers and sisters, that we've been talking about the past 2 weeks. It may seem like something was done to adequately address race issues, but what it really does is continue to marginalize us. I'm telling you, the mere fact that we got to rejoice over that conviction shows you that something is terribly wrong. So he says he blocks these thoughts from entering his mind. I remember the black woman most had never heard of. A black woman whose bravery astonishes me. A black woman long since dead of brain cancer. I remember Nanny Strayhorn. The foreman standing up and announcing guilty in Oliver's trial for the killing of Edwards surprised us. The forewoman standing up and announcing guilty in Van Dyke's trial for the killing of Laquan McDonald surprised us. The foreman standing up and announcing guilty in the trials of Burleson and Davis surprised Richmond's black community decades ago. And I would say the foreman standing up and announcing the guilty conviction of Derek Chauvin surprised us too. He said, we'll know the system is fair when we are no longer surprised. We'll know that the system is fair when we expect fairness. We'll know the system is fair when officers believe they can't cry, I feared for my life and get away with killing black people. We aren't there yet. We must forge ahead. The work remains undone. And that last part is where I disagree with him. We aren't there yet. We will never get there with them. Not in this kingdom.
Nope.
Not with them in rulership. But yes, we must forge ahead. But not in politics. Not in anything. The last part of that line in Habakkuk 2 and 4. We must live by faith. We want to be justified before God. We want real justice when things happen. We got to live by faith. It says the work remains undone. And this is part of why we are here, why we bring these things out, why the Most High has put us in positions to teach the people. Let me get that other article. I think it's from NPR. And let's go over some of that a little bit. And brothers and sisters, don't forget you can call in and comment, share your thoughts, questions on the topic, all right? Call in numbers 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. Don't be shy. I see a lot of y'all watching. Look, I see 54 actively watching on Facebook, 56. I see 215 watching on YouTube. By all means, brothers and sisters, if you'd like to call in, interact with us, interact with the show, if you have some things to say about what we're speaking about tonight, by all means, bring it out. Bring it out. So it says, where the Chauvin verdict fits in the recent history of high-profile police killings. You see a sign there, tons of names, recent ones too. Some of these that we probably didn't even get national attention that we might not know about.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's what we know. Look, Oscar Grant, we were talking about that. Look, Tamir Rice right up in the top.
Can't even fit on a sign. That's a big sign. That's how many people. Yep.
Trayvon Martin, that was another one. He wasn't a cop, but he still got off. Yeah, what was the excuse then? If the excuse is that cops can be reasonable, what about that?
No. That, don't even get me started on that case because they clearly told him do not follow him, and he follows him. So you got to ass whoop him because I don't know who you are. I see some dude at night following me. I'm
going to
whip your ass.
I would do the same thing.
And then you're going to be like cry like a girl and take out a firearm when you shouldn't ever be in that position in the first place.
Sure. Hey, and don't be fooled. His mama was Northern Kingdom, not his pops.
That's right.
Hey,
right?
That dude was far off, trust me. Zimmerman? No.
His last name was Zimmerman. They try to frame it that he was Hispanic. Yeah, again, to try to cast bands asunder. All right. So it says, after only about 10 hours of deliberation, a jury has found former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin guilty on all counts in the murder of George Floyd. An outcome Floyd's civil legal team called Painfully Earned Justice in a statement released after the verdict was announced. The trial's outcome was highly anticipated and the guilty verdict not necessarily guaranteed. While Floyd's killing ignited a wave of protests against racism and police brutality nationwide and around the world, convictions of police officers over on-duty shootings are rare. In fact, Chauvin is believed to be just the second officer to be convicted in an on-duty death case in Minnesota's history. I tell you, something's up in Minnesota because a lot of these people were killed in Minnesota. Between 2005 and Floyd's murder last year, only 5 non-federal law enforcement officers were convicted of murder in an on-duty shooting and not had the conviction later overturned. He's not talking about against blacks. He's talking about period. And not had the conviction later overturned because that's a possibility. Don't think because Chauvin is all right now that thing don't get overturned. There's appeals process. There's all types of stuff like that. Because that's the next thing. They're going to exhaust those appeals processes. We'll be happy now for a little while and then see what happens later. It says, according to Philip Stinson at the Henry A. Wallace Police Crime Database at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. All right, we'll get the call in a second. And it's impossible to ignore the role that race plays in such events, with many of these shootings involving white officers and black victims. In fact, an NPR investigation published this year revealed that police officers have fatally shot at least 135 black men and women across the country since 2015. And when they give this statistic, they're only counting black. And remember, the numbers are skewed because, one, they're not counting Hispanic, and two, even if they do count Hispanic, a lot of them, they'll mark them down as white, with at least 75% of the officers identifying as white. As the country begins to process the verdict, many advocates are noting that Floyd's case is one of many and are calling for systemic changes in policing and criminal justice. You're not going to get it. Here's a look at the outcomes of several high-profile cases in recent years. We'll read that in a second. So we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus.
Salam, Captain. Salam, Officer. This is Brother Sakai from the IUIC Dallas.
Shalom, shalom. Oh, shalom, listening from Dallas. Shalom. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It sounds like, based off the reading you were just reading, it sounds like Esau, like amongst themselves, they play like Russian roulette with who's going to be guilty and who gets off innocent or a slap on the wrist, and then who got to take the major charges.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we often say it on the show that the casualties of war, you're right, they'll just kind of pick whoever. They do it all the time. Hey, when they Lee Harvey Oswald, when they assassinated JFK, right? And I use that because, right, that wasn't a racist thing. That was all white people colluding against white people in that.
Right.
And, you know, he was the, like he said, he's the patsy that they use for that thing. If you believe that he was able to get over all them shots and kill JFK the way he did, you know, something's wrong with you. They just pick whoever, they position people. You're right. It's kind of like, hey, all right, yeah, we'll choose this guy to get convicted or that one. And that goes into that illusion of inclusion. Let's make it appear like there's some progress and some change.
All praises. Yeah, that was my only comment.
All right, all praises, all praises. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for participating.
Shalom, shalom,
shalom. Right. Let's see what else we got here. Right, Captain. I'm like, they happy too soon. Wait until after the sentencing. I watched it. Seemed too calm. I was like, what are they have cooking up? Yeah, probably. Right. So let's read some of this, right? Let's say, look at some of the high-profile cases in recent. Eric Garner's another one that really upset me, man.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's a good point, Dorothy Walker brought out, because Manessa in Miami, yeah, they do relate to being white.
Oh, most of the Cubans here in Miami.
Yeah,
so
that is true.
Yeah.
I know that.
Well,
and
you know what? And there's a lot of them that have blonde hair, blue eyes, so they'll roll that way as well. I mean, the ones that are the cake not turned, because because we saw both when we were in Cuba. We saw ones that were dark, right? And then we had, like, even our driver was light-skinned, real light-skinned, mm-hmm. like, you know, that he could pass. Yeah, a lot of Northern Kingdom, they'll pass for that. And that goes into Hosea, where it says, strangers have devoured their strength, gray hairs upon their head, and they know if it not. Our strength is in our bloodline and in the keeping of these commandments. So when you don't identify as what you really are, when you don't keep your true heritage, you've weakened you have no strength. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible tells you. Mm-hmm. So when it says strangers have devoured Ephraim, and by extension all Northern Kingdom strength, it's really going into us kind of taking that thing and identifying as white and trying to push white. And let me tell you something. I know people who are not familiar with Northern Kingdom may believe that all Northern Kingdom is very pro-white. That's not true. There's some, especially when you go to Central, South, Latin America, that are very hip to it, and they know the white man is the devil, and they'll tell you that, right? We're just a little more susceptible that once you get Americanized and you get that American doctrine in your head, you know, it works. It seeps into the brain, and they run with it, and they run with it. So Eric Garner, in July 2014, New York City police officers approached Garner out of suspicion that he was selling untaxed cigarettes on the sidewalk outside a convenience store in Staten Island. Former officer Daniel Pantaleo applied a chokehold, which was prohibited by department policy. So again, not reasonable, right? It was something that's not normal in policing, all right? Yeah, we'll take the call in a second. So it says, and Garner later died in a hospital. A grand jury in New York City declined to criminally indict Pantaleo in 2014, meaning that he didn't even get indicted. So he didn't even get to go to trial. And the U.S. Department of Justice announced in 2019 it would not bring criminal charges in a federal criminal civil rights violation, citing insufficient evidence. Bro, they have the whole thing on camera.
Yep.
It was an illegal chokehold. Pantaleo was fired from the NYPD the following month. So they knew that he would be bad business to keep around.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's terrible. Not even a trial for Eric Garner. No charges brought against him. Choked the dude out.
And they did like a GoFundMe for that guy too. So... He's fine.
Right. So he's set. Hey, caller, you're on the air. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus.
Nah, we let her go. She's trying to get into this color doctrine.
Oh, okay.
Good. Screen them close.
So before you ring it, screen it.
Daniel here.
Yeah, that's
kind of hit the.
How that works, bro.
Good. That's why you guys take the calls first. All praises.
I don't know how to handle this. Here, I'm gonna put you through. Hold on.
Oh my God, what do I say?
She has a doctrine, and I don't know how to dismantle it.
Hey, so if you want to call in with stuff relevant to the show, 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797, right? You could call in and interact with us.
You know,
hold
on a second. It boggles my freaking mind, the simplicity of some people. You got to sit here for the last hour almost, and the most you could come out with is what you wanted to call about. It goes to show you we got a long way to go, man.
Right. That's another thing. Like, you know, we talking about this topic because it's relevant to our people rejoicing in this stuff, but we the ones that really need to realize, like, bro, telling you, for lack of knowledge, we are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge, the Bible tells you.
Oh, we got someone from Trinidad. Okay.
Okay. Let's read on. Michael Brown. Brown was fatally shot by Ferguson, Missouri police officer Darren Wilson in the middle of the street in August 2014 in an incident that sparked nationwide protests over perceived racial bias in policing and helped launch the Black Lives Matter movement. A grand jury declined to indict Wilson that year. He also had a GoFundMe, and they raised a lot of money for him.
Oh, that dude, he's like well off. They paid his house and everything.
Yep. A grand jury declined to indict Wilson that year, and the U.S. Department of Justice did not bring criminal charges against him in 2015, but found in a review that Ferguson's police department engaged in a pattern of unconstitutional policing. The prosecutor for St. Louis County reopened the case, but announced last year that his office would not bring charges against Wilson, citing a lack of concrete evidence. That seems to be the MO when they don't charge, lack of concrete evidence.
It wasn't that there was evidence to prove that the officer was in the right. Their scapegoat is lack of concrete evidence.
Yes.
Bruh.
Y'all see where?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing to do with that. So that leaves it ambiguous to the fact that, yeah, there was some doubt that he handled it the wrong way, but it's not enough doubt for us to open up a trial again.
Hey.
So that means that this case was, that the justice was not served.
Mm-hmm. No, there, again, you got to think that illusion of inclusion. Sometimes we think the illusion of inclusion, and we think it's just that they'll make us CEOs, that they'll let us be athletes. Mm-hmm. Their crafty counsel is subtle. There's so much deepness to it. We the ones that don't really address that thing the right way. And we don't look at these little nuances in this stuff. And that's for both of them. That's for both cases, saying they're lacking insufficient evidence. Laquan McDonald, Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke, we read about this in the other article, was found guilty of second-degree murder in the October 2014 shooting death of McDonald, a black teenager. The jury also found him guilty of 16 counts of aggravated battery with a firearm and acquitted him on one count of official misconduct. It took the jury about 8 hours to reach a verdict in the 2018 trial, marking the first time in decades that a Chicago police officer was convicted of murder for an on-duty death, right? So you had two no trials, mm-hmm. and here's a little bone. Walter Scott in April 2015.
That's the one right here.
Michael Slager, then a police officer in North Charleston, South Carolina, pulled over Scott, a black man,
this is the one right here.
Because of a broken brake light on his Mercedes-Benz. Scott ran from his vehicle, and Slager gave chase. After a scuffle, Slager shot Scott as he was running away, hitting him 5 times in the back.
As he was running, and that's on video. On video. Then they even lied. The cop even lied at the beginning saying he had a gun.
Yeah, because he didn't know the video was there. Shot him in the back 5 times. A bystander captured a video of the incident, which quickly went viral. I remember this video.
Mm-hmm.
A state murder trial ended in a hung jury.
Hung jury. That don't mean he wasn't guilty.
Mm-hmm.
That just means they couldn't cut it. Some got the talking to, and they couldn't come to some type of a verdict, is all that means.
A state murder trial ended in a hung jury. Then Slager pleaded guilty to a federal civil rights violation for using excessive force as part of a plea agreement. In 2017, a judge found him guilty of second-degree murder and obstruction of justice and sentenced him to 20 years in prison. So after all that, he finally – I didn't know he wound up getting sentenced. So
I didn't know that either.
So they threw again, another bone.
20, he'll do 8. Good mm-hmm. behavior. Yeah. Out.
And again, a GoFundMe there. Mm-hmm. So he'll come out with, you know, some money.
2 gas stations.
So, Samuel Du Bois. Ray Tensing, a white University of Cincinnati police officer, killed Du Bois during a traffic stop in July 2015. He had pulled Du Bois over for missing a front license plate and later said he shot him because he was being dragged by Du Bois' car. Body camera video showed the car slowly rolling off as Tensing questioned Du Bois before the officer shot the black man in the head. So meaning he was not being pulled. He was driving off and he chose to shoot him.
I saw that video too.
Tensing's first trial in 2016 ended with the jury unable to reach a unanimous verdict on murder and manslaughter charges. A second trial in 2017 also ended with a deadlocked jury and was declared a mistrial. So he's good. Shot him in the head just because he was driving off. I don't know. I don't think that's normal, reasonable police behavior.
No, not at all.
One, like he was driving at him. He was driving off.
I remember that whole thing was.
Now, listen, is that right? Like, we understanding what we're in and the oppression that we're in, right? I'm going to bring that out in the scriptures in a minute. We obviously have to operate different. We can't sit there and think that in a system that's crooked and in the spirit, in the soul of a man and a people that's crooked, that you can stand up like the Karens and the Kevins of the world do, yep. and you not have repercussions for that.
That's the I'm sovereign mentality.
Right. That's exactly what it is. Right. Hey, you see the other one where she starts calling out the name, thinking that that's going to save him from the video.
Bro.
That thing is hilarious. That thing is hilarious.
You can't stand up as the Karens and Kevins when they see you as Keyshawns and Keishas, you know?
Keyshawns and Keishas.
It just doesn't work like that,
right?
Bro.
Right. You're right about that. Right. Sandra Bland is another one mysterious, right? Bland was arrested after being pulled over by police in Walker County, Texas, in July 2015 for failing to signal a lane change and was found hanged in her cell in county jail 3 days later. This one was weird as hell, yeah. and people don't talk about this no more. A Texas grand jury declined to indict any officers in connection with her death. Brian Encinia, the Texas state trooper who pulled her over, was accused of lying about how he removed Bland from her car and was indicted on a criminal charge of perjury. The charge was later dropped after Encinia agreed to end his career in law enforcement. Right, so she wound up, all of a sudden she hung herself in
yeah, it was
being detained in there.
I don't buy that either. I don't buy that either.
They probably knew, man, that the evidence was against them, bro. Mm-hmm. And they rigged that thing.
Hey, and this guy from and Epstein killed himself too.
Oh, right, right. Lando Castile. Castile was fatally shot by Officer Geronimo Yanez during a traffic stop in a Minneapolis suburb in July 2016. Now, that sounds Northern Kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yanez. But like I told you, it still goes into you'll have some of our people. Remember, they were taskmasters too. They were killing us in Egypt as well. All right. You bring that out with Egypt and how we were in captivity in Egypt. Mm-hmm. Right. Same type of circumstances. We had our own people over us.
Not only were they taskmasters, you had house niggas.
Yes.
You try to go ahead and escape, they were going to rat on you.
Yes.
So that's just as bad.
Right.
Because what was the punishment for that?
Right. And that's my point. Like, you can't look at this and then be like, oh, see? No, and bring out that color bullshit and Northern Kingdom and all this other stuff. All right? You got to remember what we brought out in the beginning with the scriptures, the soul not being upright. And it also can't – they get some of our people involved in that. They get our people involved in it. Let's finish reading Fernando Castillo, and then we'll take the call. Castillo was fatally shot by Officer Geronimo Yanez during a traffic stop, in Minneapolis. I'm telling you, there's something going on up in Minnesota.
It's the water.
Maybe. Maybe it's the cold.
Go back down to Fernando Castillo. Keep going.
Fernando Castillo.
He's so nervous. The call must be.
Go up.
You passed it.
He's nervous.
Passed it.
Go up.
Right there. There you go. Good job. Castillo was fatally shot by Officer Geronimo Yanez during a traffic stop in a Minneapolis suburb in July 2016. After being pulled over for a broken taillight, Castillo disclosed that he was legally carrying a gun. You know, and they ask you that. I've gotten pulled over here, and they'll ask you that. You got any firearms or weapons, you know? And I've never gotten pulled over when I've had it, right? But, you know, that's a standard thing. And he says, and Yanez shot him 7 times, reportedly out of fear that he was reaching for it. A video of Castillo bleeding to death, filmed by his girlfriend and streamed to Facebook. I remember that. Was seen by millions. Yanez was tried on charges of second-degree manslaughter and endangering safety by discharging a firearm, and a jury acquitted him after 27 hours of deliberation spread out over 5 days.
Hey, and even if he was Northern Kingdom, let's say, for argument's sake, that he was, that still goes back to Willie Lynch.
Yes.
Okay? Hating each other.
Yep.
All right? That stigma that if you're black, okay?
Well, that goes back to my thing with the – it's not even just that you're black. He picked that up on the police force.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's toxic in how they police our communities. That's what you were going into earlier. They go into that aggressive thing and that, hey, that's like, so you know what that means? When he was a rookie, he had somebody telling him, oh, listen, no, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to focus on this. Listen, I'm not saying your own people won't freaking kill you if you're a cop either, right? It happens.
Situations on that,
right? Yeah. It happens. But what there's a deeper issue here in how we are seen as a threat, right? Mm-hmm. That aggressiveness.
And again, you have to understand that there's some Jake meaning Northern and Southern Kingdom that they weren't raised around. They were raised around Esau.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they have that mentality because that's all they know. And because they're a little light skinned, they was, you know, what is supposedly called good hair. They feel some type of way like they're not part of, they're not a minority.
Yep.
I worked with them, so I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact.
We still have the caller?
Yes, she's on now.
Hey, shalom, caller. Welcome to the Power Hour.
Shalom.
Shalom, leadership. Most High in Christ bless. This is Sister Dina out of the Carolinas.
Shalom, sis.
Shalom.
And
shalom.
I wanted to touch on when you mentioned that he may or may not actually even go to prison. Showman,
mm-hmm.
There's a show on Showtime called Black Monday, Don Cheadle's deal, and there's a prison quartet scene where they're singing. Basically, it's like Club Med, but they mention the Israelites in the clip.
Huh.
Oh, really? Did you find it, Ashaya?
No.
It's the one with 2 minutes and 44 seconds.
She told you, 2 minutes, 44 seconds.
It's the one that's 2 minutes, 44 seconds, she said.
Yes, sir.
Hold on, he's trying to
find it. It was on
Black Monday. I haven't heard about that show. I got to take a look at that.
Even though Don Cheadle was still doing stuff.
I didn't know that there was still a Showtime.
You can stream it. Oceanside shares his login with me so I can see some of the streamers.
Hey, sis, if you have the link, you could post it.
Yeah, post it. Post the link to
YouTube or to Facebook.
Don't matter. Either or. They'll look at it. And let's check it out. I'll be curious
to see.
Okay,
I'll get it for you. I'll post it. I'll pull it up.
You can't put it on both. Maybe people on Facebook want to watch it too.
Yeah. Yeah, post it on Facebook and YouTube.
Right.
So that they can see it as well. All right, all praises. Hopefully we can get it. While they look for it, we'll keep reading. And thank you for the call.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you.
Again, you guys could call in. Call in number pops up on the screen. 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797.
Have your links ready when you call in. I'm just kidding.
Terrence Crutcher. Let's go on while he looks for that. Terrence Crutcher. Crutcher, who was black, was killed in September 2016 by police officer Betty Jo Shelby after she stopped his SUV in the middle of a two-lane road in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The incident was captured on dashboard cameras as well as a police helicopter camera. Shelby was charged with first-degree manslaughter and acquitted by a jury after several hours of deliberation in 2017. So you're seeing a pattern here?
Mm-hmm. Bro, Betty Jo Shelby, if that don't sound, I mean, as racist as, you know, 1911 Rosewoods, bro, Betty Jo Shelby.
Yep.
She was looking to kill somebody,
yeah, whenever
bro.
You have the Bobby Joe.
You know what I'm saying?
Betty Bobby Joe, Boucher.
Bobby, Joe. Bobby Boucher. Justin Ruzick.
I love that song.
The only known Minnesota police officer to be convicted of murder, right? Now we have Derek Chauvin. In an on-duty incident is Muhammad Noor. So he's not even Esau, right? The former Minneapolis police officer who is Somali-American shot Ruzick, a white woman, as she approached his squad car after calling. So look at the standard here.
Yeah, of course.
He shot a white woman. He was Somali, right, which means he looked black, right? Mm-hmm. Might have been, right? He was scattered everywhere. Might have been Israel. And he winds up getting convicted, I believe. So it says a white woman, as she approached his squad car after calling 911 to report a possible sexual assault near her home in 2017. A jury found him guilty of third-degree murder and manslaughter and not guilty of intentional second-degree murder in 2019. He was sentenced to 12 and a half years in prison. Daniel Prude, a black man, died of asphyxiation last March after being restrained by Rochester, New York police while he was in the midst of a mental health crisis. I think I remember this one also. Police body camera footage of his arrest, showing him handcuffed and pinned to the snow-slick ground with a mesh hood over his head, I do remember this one, was released in September, igniting days of protest and accusations of a cover-up by city officials. A New York grand jury voted in February 2021 not to file charges against any of the officers involved. I think we actually showed that footage on one of the episodes.
He was in the street, handcuffed, I believe, with the bag over
right outside like his garage or something like that. Against any of the officers involved, and Prude's family filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the city and at least six police officers last month. I remember that. It was tough to watch. He had the bag over his head and handcuffed. Mm-hmm. Right, I don't know why they had the mesh hood over his head.
Well, that's because he was probably spitting. Remember, said he was mental. So, I mean, that is procedure to have to avoid any type of contact with any type of diseases. So.
Okay, all right, but I mean
that much I get.
But that was another case of where he was saying, "I can't breathe."
Yeah,
you know. So, I mean, how long do you do that? How long do you keep that like that?
Mm-hmm.
Breonna Taylor. Oh, the link is up? All right, let me finish reading Breonna Taylor. Breonna Taylor, the 26-year-old black woman, was fatally shot in her apartment last March by Louisville, Kentucky police officers during a botched narcotics raid, of which she was not the target. Two distant strangers, all right? There's like a little – every little way that he winds up getting killed is like a little homage to somebody that got killed in it. That's the other thing that's subtle about the short film. During a botched narcotics raid of which she was not the target, a Kentucky grand jury indicted one of the Louisville Metro Police Department officers, Brett Hankinson, over charges of wanton endangerment for firing into neighboring apartments. So not because of what he did against her, because he fired into neighboring apartments. Jonathan Mattingly and Miles Cosgrove, the other two officers involved, did not face charges. Hankinson, Mattingly, and Detective Joshua James, who secured the warrant for the raid, have since been fired, but no charge.
Hey, that's the take one for the team, and we got you back later.
Yep, that's exactly what that is. All right, so we got a link. So we found the link. Okay. Let's see. Make sure you put your disclaimers up so they don't shut us down.
Ah! Prison systems overstuffed thanks to the war on drugs. Reagan's stand on contraband has swept up all the thugs. But violent crooks and cooks of books should never share a cell. So we designed some new confines that are the living hell. It's true. Think that
should look his best. Manicured and moisturized, appropriately dressed.
And fresh?
Yes. You'll add some heft care of our chefy practically trained. Lamb with deli, garganelli, try the quiche Lorraine. Ah, your culinary dreams come true, just bring your appetite. The world's your oyster, Rockefeller, all because you're wise.
Call him, right?
Yeah, sure, whatever. Hey, tell him about the activities.
Dolphin, tennis, swimming, sailing, polo, and croquet. Throw a pot, I kid you not, take improv or ballet.
That was so loud.
This designation, preposterous on its face. Criminal utopia conceived for just one race. But it will never get from some night.
And it's all because
are just pillow fights, masseuse on side, we get free strike. Modern vents for your good mind, our candle planet dynamite. A large percentage is your life, the temperature in the force is right. Built on the air.
Large percent. Well, we gotta go a little further because I'd like to leave what.
Modern vents for your good night, our sandal planet dynamite. A large percentage is real life, the temperature in the pool's just right. Built on an Indian burial site.
Two smacks.
We're wild.
Two smacks. Built on Indian burial site.
Caller!
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Okay.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Hey, that's called a parody of what the system's really like.
Yep.
Of how it's set up, and I'm assuming they said a large percentage is Israelite because of the other prison population.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because they wouldn't say that and then white. So.
They don't call themselves Israelite. They call themselves Jews.
Right. Or Israeli. And plus, you know, they ain't locked up like that. So.
Nope.
Right. Wow. It said the large percent are Israelite. Wowzer, someone said. Yep, that's exactly how that went down. Hey, let me get, I got to tell you something. Like bringing it back to understanding where I think it's Isaiah 44 I want. We'll check.
Hey, producer, you got some damn Arab writing on there. What is that about?
That's not it. Hold on.
How's it going?
I don't know. Those are our friends.
Alhamdulillah.
Those are our friends? Which friends? Which friends are that?
The ones that wrote in Arabic on the comment.
Is that the one that said Esau is the issue?
It's the issue. It's the issue.
Esau is the issue. 42 is what I wanted.
42 right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's it. That's the one. Let me get Isaiah 42 and 22.
22.
Book Isaiah chapter 42, verse 22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled.
It's talking about us. It's talking about the Israelites. You have to realize this, right? This is why I said the title of the show was From Egypt to America, People Robbed and Spoiled. Don't be fooled by what you're seeing and what's going on. We just dissected this whole thing. We dissected their spirit, how they roll with us. You have to think about it. For thousands of years, literally, we've been robbed and spoiled. We've had our identity taken from us, in some cases beaten from us, all right? Spoiled meaning every blessing that's supposed to be ours, they've tried to take it from us. We know they can't. This is why I say they try, right? We are people robbed and spoiled. Come on.
They are all of them snared in holes.
All of our people are snared in holes. Some of these holes is you falling for the okey-doke of this conviction. Mm-hmm. You falling for this nonsense. You thinking that some equality is happening. You saw the one article. They're talking about crediting it to Black Lives Matter. That's BS, all right? Some of you are snared in holes. Come on.
And they are hid in prison houses.
And we are hid in prison houses. Hey, just like we read, a large percentage Israelites.
Jeez.
We are hid in prison houses, right? It's letting you know who this people that are robbed and spoiled. This is some of the ways they do this to us. Come on.
They are for a prey.
We are for a prey. We are for a prey. Remember, it said Esau comforts himself when he thinks about murdering us, when he thinks about killing us. This is his comfort. Also recall, we were bringing out, the just shall live by faith. We brought that on Ecclesiastes 7 and 12, that wisdom is a defense. And the excellency of it, for those that keep it, is that we know that we'll have life,
mm-hmm.
right? So it says we are a prey. We are prey. And again, it's, I'm not even going to say and emphasize this to police. The police just have the authority to do it in a manner that seems like they have a license to kill, essentially, right? What was the other brother that he was – that the, they came at him in the pickup truck? Whatever happened with that case that they say he was robbing the house, but he was checking out the abandoned house? He used to go on jobs.
Oh, yeah, the one in Georgia.
I think that's the next case that's going to come up.
So nothing yet,
that's
right?
That's been over a year.
No updates on that one yet.
I haven't heard
because
anything.
That's not cops involved. That's just some Edomites.
Amari brother's name that got killed, man.
Ahmad Arbery.
Ahmad Arbery.
Yes, Arbery. Yes. So, you know,
that's
so
the
again,
next one.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to I'm using the police as an example because of what just happened with the conviction. But this is beyond the police. This is just to show you that we are robbed and spoiled. And this scripture breaks up all the different ways that we are. It says we're snared in holes. How are we robbed and spoiled? What are some of the holes? Christianity, politics, false holidays, all right?
Voting.
Voting. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get in politics. Black Lives Matter. Where the hell did this gnat come from?
It's the season. It's mating season.
Yeah,
all
I don't
over
think
place.
We ever had one in here. It's crazy. Right? It says we're hidden prison houses. This is another way we're robbed and spoiled. And I'm not saying all of us that are in prison don't deserve to do right. some prison time, all right? But we know, right? If you ever seen The 13th on Netflix, that's another one. It goes into how disproportionately for the same crimes, our people get higher sentences and a higher conviction rate,
yep.
right? It says we are a prey. This goes into the murdering, the way we're killed. The way we're disregarded, our lives are seen as nothing, right? It says, go ahead, come on.
They are for a prey, and none deliver.
And none. You see, this is God's wisdom. This is where you got to consider the works of God. None delivereth. There's only one deliverer, and he's the Christ, the Black Messiah. That's the only deliverer that we have. You can't look to Jim Crow Joe.
Nope.
You can't look to Kamala Harris. Allah, I want to be every nation under the sun. Give me credit for being Asian. Give me credit for being Black. Give me credit for being a woman. All this stuff. Thinking that, you see, that's the illusion of inclusion right there. It seems to, ooh, we had Obama. Now we got a vice president of color, they try to say. It says none delivereth. Come on.
For a spoil and none saith restore.
See, this is the thing you got to realize, and this is why that illusion of inclusion will stay there permanently, right? Let's read it again, illusion of inclusion, and I'm gonna break down this last part of this verse here. Let's get the illusion of inclusion up again. The illusion of inclusion has been defined as the sometimes subtle. You're messing me up here. I was reading it off of your screen and not mine. See, the one time I read it off of their screen. The illusion of inclusion has. You don't gotta highlight it for me. I can see it just fine. You highlighting it before is what messed it up. The illusion of inclusion has been defined as the sometimes subtle ways that the standards can appear to adequately address race while at the same time marginalizing it. Again, the fact that it's such a big deal that Kamala Harris is there should show you how it marginalizes
she
it.
She hates Black men.
Oh, man. Does she ever?
You can obviously, see, you can she see, married.
You can right. see by what she's by to. And here's the thing you got to realize. None of these bones that they throw us, none of them are saying restore our people. And notice, restore is in a capital. The restoration of our identity, the restoration of our heritage, the acknowledgement. That's why those videos that get put out about, hey, I'm Esau. Yeah, I know you guys are the Israelites. None of that says restore. We will be robbed and spoiled until everyone in the earth recognizes who we are and not recognize it verbally. Not recognize it by a stupid video or an offhand comment. They will recognize it when they bring their forces into the gates of Jerusalem. When you see us in rulership, that's when they will recognize it. It says none say restore. Anybody who does throw a little bone, a subtle way that seems to adequately address race, All right. None of them. None of our people that get into these positions say restore the Israelites, restore the people. No, what they say is equality with you. Mm-hmm. Make us equal with you. Acknowledge that we can do and have the same things you have. Let me get Lamentations 4:17.
Okay, let me just say real quick.
Go ahead.
Before you get there, I want to address Barbara B. Thank you for your comment. And my sentiments exactly, okay? We're frustrated seeing our beloved family dying in the streets as well. But understand, at the end of the day, yes, okay, we know that the other nations hate us, predominantly the Caucasian man, right? We understand that Romans 13 says, obey the powers that be, right, because of the fact that we couldn't obey the Most High God and the law, statutes, and commandments, right? We get all of that, trust me, okay? But at the end of the day, give me Deuteronomy 28. Just, let's start at 1 real quick, and then we'll give it back to Cap with Lamentations. Here's what we also can't lose sight of, right? Because at the end of the day, we get it, but we should have never been in this position. Let's understand that. Go ahead.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 1. Freedom! And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Hearken diligently, diligently, not sitting in Sunday church, Sunday school with a pastor. That's not hearkening to the, because if they ain't teaching you that you're the Israelites and you got to keep the law, statutes, and commandments to get salvation, which they don't, okay, they're not even being diligent. Go ahead.
To observe and to do all his commandments.
Those are actions, to observe and to do
all his commandments,
uh-huh,
which I commanded thee this day.
And this day, when we were brought out of Egypt, this is what the Most High God told Moses to tell us. You are free now from captivity. You are now, okay, in charge. Now it is known that, yes, I am the Lord your God, but there's stipulations. Go ahead.
That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
If we were above all nations of the earth today, we wouldn't be feeling the way we're feeling, Sister Barbara B. And I'm with you, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we got to look at both sides, right? Because then that becomes what civil rights movements were. Then that becomes problems but no solutions, right? Go ahead.
Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee.
Notice the wording that is used in Deuteronomy 28, starting from 1. Blessings above all nations. Go ahead.
And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee.
There'll be so much abundance of blessings that it will overtake us. Go ahead.
If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
He goes again. Stipulations, though, right? We got to hearken, meaning do the law, statutes, and commandments.
Verse 3.
Uh-huh.
Blessed shall thou be in the city. And blessed shall thou be in the field.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground.
Why would the fruit of our body and the fruit of our God, the fruit of our body, our children won't be getting killed on the streets. Okay, because they will be blessed because they're living the right way. Because let's face it also, okay, because I like to look at all sides of everything. All right. Sometimes these situations happen and we're kind of up to no good. Like the situation that just happened a couple of days ago. If in fact, from what I'm hearing, and I don't pass judgment until all the facts are on the table. She had a knife. She sliced one of her sisters and was about to slice another one. Let's not lose fact, mm-hmm, of that we're not right. We're not right if we're not in this Bible. Go ahead.
Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground,
mm-hmm,
and the fruit of thy cattle,
mm-hmm,
the increase of thy kind,
uh-huh,
and the flocks of thy sheep.
Uh-huh.
Verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store.
Okay, meaning we will be financially set. Go ahead.
Verse 6. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out.
We don't have to bring forth children and worry and give them the talk. Well, you know, you don't look like everybody else, so you better be careful. When a cop stops you, you comply. Okay, don't go into the wrong neighborhoods. All right, because we be blessed. That'll be understood. Jump down to 10.
Verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord.
They don't see us like that right now. They don't see us like that. Spiritually, they know something ain't right because their spirit ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
They know that there's a, like the cop we always bring up, right? Why'd you shoot me? I don't know, right? But guess what? If we follow and when we start following the Lord, statutes, of the commandments and go back to our rightful place of rulership, all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by thy name, Israel. Okay, which means Prince of God. Go ahead.
And they shall be afraid of thee.
They ain't afraid of us right now. Ain't none of these Edomites or other nations afraid of us right now. Not one iota. You know why? Because the Most High God has made that happen. Why? Because we refuse to start from one all the way on. Now, remember, I bring this out all the Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. That's all we had to do.
Right.
And if we didn't do 1 through 14, now we have 15 through 68. Three times as much or four times as much was going to happen to us if we didn't follow the law, statutes, and commandments. All right? So understand, I'm with you, sis. I get frustrated and angry like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I am not foolish. Okay, and I'm not saying you are, sister, but I'm not naive. Let me put it that way. I'm not naive to understand that at the end of the day, we should have never been in this predicament. But all praises to the Most High God. He brought us back to remembrance. He's showing us the law, statutes, and commandments and what we need to do to get back above all nations.
Right, right. That's part of that restoration.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do that stuff. And remember, we can't forget that we have enemies because our people will fall in line with identity. Some of us will even fully embrace keeping the commandments, but then we fall apart when it comes to the enemy piece. We get too comfortable and complacent. Yep. Lamentations 4:17.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 4, verse 17.
Bring it up.
Us, our eyes have yet failed them. Excuse me. Our eyes has yet failed for our vain help.
Our vain help, because we just read in Isaiah 42, it said there's none that delivereth. We are robbed and spoiled, and there's none that delivereth. There's none that say restore the Israelites. Come on.
In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us.
You have to remember, this is wisdom. You want justice? We must live by faith. We must repent and keep these commandments. Israelites, and realize who our enemies are. Come on.
They hunt our steps that we cannot go in our streets.
This is us being a prey. They tell you this in 4:17 as like a reminder. Realize any help that they do give us, the little subtle things that look like it addresses race, but really marginalizes it, that's a vain help. None say restore. None say restore the Israelites. So it says they hunt our steps. Come on.
That we cannot go in our streets.
Read.
Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled, for our end is come.
Right, and that has double meaning, right? Our end is near because they hunt our steps, but you got to realize we are a lot further along than our forefathers were. We don't know exactly when it will be, but we are closer now, so, so, so much closer. From what we understand, I brought this out in Ezra's before about how much time is left, right? We have an approximation of where we at, and it's a lot. It's not a lot. It's not a lot. The time is short. And short could be another 100 years. Short could be another 200.
Mm-hmm.
But it's short. We understand that it's short. They hunt our steps that we cannot go in our streets. Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled, for our end is come. Come on.
Verse 19. Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. They pursued us upon the mountains. They lay wait for us in the wilderness.
That same spirit. They pursued us like eagles. There's a reason that it says eagles. The Bible calls them our persecutors. They are here to persecute us. Come on.
Of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen.
Why? Right? The breath of our nostrils goes into those keeping of the commandments. It says that we are the anointed of the Lord. It was taken in their pits, meaning they beat it out of us. They took our identity away from us. They beat it out, keeping the commandments away from us. All right? He said, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen. And that's where we're at now. Read on.
Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of Uz.
Right? Letting them know, hey, enjoy it now. Enjoy it now, O daughter of Edom. Come on.
The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shall make thyself naked.
The cup that you gave us, the persecution that you gave us in this life, it's going to be flipped on them. You want justice? You got to keep these commandments. You got to have the faith that this salvation is going to come to us. Come on.
The punishment of thy iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity.
In that day, we will no more be. That's when we will get justice. This is why we must live by faith. You want justice? Live by faith. Come on.
He will visit thy iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will discover thy sins.
He will discover thy sins. God sees it all. He knows what he's going to do. In that day, Christ is going to say restore, and it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get, just like we got four times curses, they're going to get multiple times. Scripture says whatever they did to us, double. Oof. Double. And listen, that's what we know of the atrocity. That's what we know. So we got to make sure that we understand where we're at, what role we have to play here, and where we headed in this thing. You cannot get overjoyed for these little bones, these little subtle things that seem to address things. Because you know something? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. You're probably going to see a lot more action that's going to look like it's addressing, mm-hmm. that it's going to look like they're acknowledging us. But remember what we read in Isaiah. None of them will say restore. If they put something out to you, until they say you are the Israelites, and not just say it, not just acknowledge it, but then they have to put us in the right place in rulership. And that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen until Christ the Redeemer comes. So don't fall for any of these devices that's coming down the line. Because I'm telling you, you're going to see some things that is going to make you feel like, wait a second. We're not afflicted. Wait a second. Mm-hmm. They starting to actually acknowledge us. We're getting some respect. It ain't going to roll that way. It ain't going to roll that way. Remember, wisdom is a defense, brothers and sisters. Wisdom is a defense. Y'all got anything else?
No, sir. Sir.
Hey. All right. Well, that was a show.
Real quick. What happened? Let them know to subscribe to IURC Phoenix YouTube page.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, while you're on here watching, make sure that you subscribe to the Phoenix page, all right? We've been growing this thing organically just by putting out the classes and now the radio shows, all right? The radio show's on twice a week. We're on Facebook exclusively on Saturdays, 11 a.m. Arizona time, all right? And then obviously on Wednesdays, we're on from 7 p.m. Arizona time. That's 10 p.m. presently on the East Coast. Make sure you hit a like, do a share. Leave a comment, all right? Also, subscribe. Subscribe, and you can turn on alerts for when we drop videos, not just the radio show, and you can check us out, all right? And, hey, don't be shy, you know, when we do these shows to call in. I know sometimes we forget to do the call-in number, but we do keep it up there, all right? So if you want to call in with comments, something of value to add to the show, go right ahead, all right? So that's the Power Hour Plus for this week. Lord's will. We'll have the Saturday show, 11 a.m., like I said, on the Facebook page exclusively. And then next week, Wednesday, Lowe's will be back for the Plus Edition. All right. So with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
There go. Israel is back. We got the nations running scared because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them low. When the Lord returns, Babylon will fall. Prepared solid. We got them on lock. God chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back. We back. Israel is back. We back. You heathen, get ready for our whip to crack. Dang.
Let me get me a little bit. I